Amen. Well, welcome everyone to Word of Life. We are glad to have you here this Sunday morning. And for those of you who may be visiting us for the first time or maybe have never gone through our membership program here at the church, we have a ministry that's really an arm of outreach from this ministry in downtown Jackson in the Poindexter community. And it's something that the Lord led us to do years ago. We were always in our heart looking to do something in our local community. How many of you know the greatest goal of what we do on Sunday mornings is to not just come to church, but come to church to learn how to be the church? And for a long time in the South, I feel like that mark of spiritual success has been to simply come to church on Sunday morning. But I really feel as if over the next couple of decades, the Lord's going to turn that on its head if Jesus tarries his coming and really encourage and inspire the church to be the church, to be the actual arms and feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to do some amazing things within our community. And we sense that call as a church to not only be a strong supporter of what God is doing all throughout the world with world missions and those things, but to also do something within our own community. How many of you know our community needs a touch of the Lord Jesus? And so we sought for years to kind of see what could we do within the community, where could we go to be most effective. And we did a lot of things that were hit or miss. Some things worked really, really well. Other things, we couldn't see any fruit being produced at all. But one Monday morning, I believe, I walked into Tommy Brown's office, who, as you saw on the screen, he's our outreach pastor here at the church. And he was showing me pictures of a deal that we had done for the homeless people over in Poindexter Park. And when I saw the pictures, there was a building out in the distance. And as soon as I saw that building, the Lord spoke to my heart and dealt with me to buy the building. And we were in the process of building this building. And so it didn't make too much sense. But we went down and looked at it. And the more we looked at it, the more that witness in our own heart grew that we're supposed to buy it and turn it into an outreach center. And so we agreed upon a purchase price, and that very same week we had two checks, like I said in the video, come in the mail that paid for the building in its entirety. And we've just seen things like that happen steadily down there. And so what we're asking this morning is for those of you who may not be monthly partners of Poindexter and the work that's being done there to pray about and consider if the Lord would have it on your heart to be partners of that. Basically, it's its own separate nonprofit. We have started it as a ministry, as an outreach of Word of Life, but it runs entirely separate from Word of Life in the sense of Word of Life helps fund it, but we also look to our monthly partners to help fund it and to keep it going. And so with that, we have about right now anywhere on any given month between $8,000 to $12,000 that comes in just for the Life Poindexter, which is amazing. A lot of it comes from even people who don't go to the church but want to do something in downtown Jackson. And we'd like for that to continue to grow and continue to expand. And as a church, one of the things we do is we pay for all of the employees down there. So literally every dollar you give is going straight to outreach. There is no overhead. The building's debt-free. The vehicles we have down there is debt-free. You're not paying insurance for people, or nobody is getting any money off of these dollars that you give to Poindexter. Literally every dollar, not just some of every dollar, every single penny of every dollar that you give to Poindexter goes right into outreach there. Now, what are the outreaches we run down there? Well, in the brochure, you see we do a lot of different things. But basically, our philosophy right now in that community is to just be a force of good there. Jesus calls the church the light of the world, a city on a hill that should not be hidden. He says we are the salt of the earth. And with that, we as a church family are supposed to be and are called by God to be doing good works. Now, we are not saved by works, and aren't you thankful for it? There's no amount of good that you could do that could make you born again. No, Jesus sealed that for us through the shed blood that he shed on that cross. But while we are not saved by works, if you read the book of James, you see that you are saved for works. James said, it's great that you say you have faith, That's wonderful. You say you have faith in Christ. Awesome. But he said, where are your works? That if we have this amazing faith in Christ, it ought to lead to us doing some amazing things for Christ. And that because our life has been changed by him, it leads to us wanting to see other people's lives changed by him. And when you adopt that type of mindset, I believe you're going to see the Lord show up in your life like never before. In fact, there's a scripture here. I want to read it in Isaiah chapter 58. We'll look at this and then we'll dive over into our message. All of this is just the warm-up. But in Isaiah chapter 58, in verse 6 all the way to verse 12, it's really been a golden text in my life and for this church as to why we support missions, not only locally, but all around the world. I want to encourage you. I believe all of you give to this ministry. That's wonderful. That's amazing. And we strive to be as good of stewards as possible as the money you give to us. I don't know of any ministry that's run better financially than this one. I say that with the utmost humility. But we track all of our numbers every month, and we just are committed to never having to raise money for this ministry. But one of the things we will raise money for is to encourage you all to be supporters of other things other than this ministry, including missionaries and missions locally and abroad. And the reason why is because we do that as a church. As a church, we see that the reason God has given us strength is to bear burdens for other ministries and to bear burdens in other people's lives. And once we adopted that mindset, that Lord, give us strength so that we can use that strength to bless other people for your kingdom, we have seen our strength multiply as a church family. And one of the scriptures that kind of trained me in that is Isaiah 58. In Isaiah 58, the people are doing a whole bunch of religious things. They're praying. They're even fasting. The problem is it's yielding no power. They have no power in their life, no power in their congregation. They have literally no strength. And so they take it up to the Lord and they're complaining about it. They're saying, we're doing all of these religious things. But really what they had was a form of godliness, but they didn't have any of the power. And so they're asking the Lord, why? Why are we fasting? Why are we praying? But it seems like you're not hearing. It seems as if you're distant. It seems as if nothing's changing. And so Isaiah 58 is the Lord answering them. This is why you're not seeing any power. This is why you're not seeing any strength in your life or among your congregation. And watch what he says here in verse 6. Isaiah 58 and verse 6. He says, Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not? Now he's saying, this is what I want. You're fasting and all of those things, that's great. But this is what I really want from you. He says, is it not to deal, now notice this, your bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house, and when you see the naked, that you cover him. And this is very interesting to me. And that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. He says, there are people that are dwelling among you, and your eyes aren't even attentive to their needs. He says, there's people right there in your community, and I want you to be focused on helping them. If they're naked, I want you to clothe them. If they're hungry, I want you to feed them. If they don't have a place to stay, I want you to give them shelter. And Jesus backs this up in the New Testament by saying, I was hungry and you fed me not. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And they said, when, O Lord, have we done these things unto you? And he said, whatever you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me. So this is a theme that runs throughout all the scripture. Now notice, he keeps saying here in verse 8, he says, when you do this, when you don't hide your face from your own flesh, that you're good to them, watch what he says, then shall your light break forth as the morning, and then your health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness will go before thee, and the glory of the Lord will be your reward. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here am I. If you take away from the midst of thee the yoke and the putting forth of your finger and speaking vanity. Now watch this in verse 10. And if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light arise from obscurity and darkness be as the noonday. Well, what's he talking about there? Darkness is the noonday. He said there'll be no darkness. There'll be nothing but light in your life among your congregation. He says, and the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones. He's not talking about you're going to gain a bunch of weight. He's talking about you'll be healthy. Your churches will be healthy. Your congregations will be healthy. Your finances will be healthy. And he keeps going here and he says, you'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fell not. And they shall be of thee that shall build the old waste places. And shalt raise up, I love this, shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And you will be called the repairer of the breach. A breach in the wall was where the enemy broke through. A repairer of the breach would come and say, I see the enemy coming in here. And I'm not going to let him come in here any longer. I'm going to repair that breach. And he keeps going and he says, the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Now, I see that as a pastor, and I see immediately it's not enough for me as a pastor to pray and ask the Lord to bless this church. And it's not enough for me to fast and say, Lord, we need to see your glory in this church. He says, if you want to see the glory, it comes as a reward to something. It comes as a reward for you not just looking for the Lord to bless you, but for you to be a blessing. And here the Lord says, when you take on the mindset of the reason why God would give me strength is to not just make me strong, but so that I can use my strength to help other people who are weak be strong too, he says, then the Lord will give you more strength, more financial strength, more health, more glory, more spiritual strength. The Lord will make you strong. So with that, years ago, I made a decision. Number one, the first decision I made is this church will be a tithing church. Number two, not only will we be a tithing church, but we'll give over and above our tithe. Number three, we will do something on purpose for the hungry, for people who need clothes, for people who need shelter. We're just going to be good to a whole bunch of people. And that's what the Life Poindexter is all about. It's an outreach of good in our community. We have vision for programs we want to set up and all those things. But the main thing we want to do is just do this scripture. When people come who are hungry, we feed them. When they need clothes, we clothe them. When they need shelter, we try to give them some. When they need cleaning products, we give it. We have GED classes we run down there. We have after-school help that we provide some students and things like that. All of those things are listed in the Poindexter newsletter and the envelope that you got this morning. All of those things. My point is that in my life and in this church, we have seen that when we ask the Lord for strength so that we can use that strength to make this world a better place, we've always seen the Lord give it. It makes sense, doesn't it? I'll put it to you this way. If I walked into the gym and said, you know what, I want to get stronger. And I went over and grabbed the 5-pound weights and started to do some arm curls. And I'm going after it. I said, "Woo, man, I don't know about this. This is hard." And set the 5-pound weights down. And I just sat back and said, "Lord, you know what I want you? I want you to give me strength. You gave Samson strength. I want you to give me strength, just supernatural strength. I want to be in shape." And what would be the Lord's response? Well, if you want to be stronger, what must you do? Use the strength you already have. And if I use the strength I already have, and maybe that strength could only lift 5-pound weights or run 10 minutes on a treadmill. But if I keep using the strength I already have, what's going to happen to my physical strength? I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to get more in shape. I'm going to get more limber. I'm going to get healthier physically. Why? I'm using the strength I already have. And the same thing is true with financial strength that comes from the Lord and spiritual strength that comes from the Lord. It's not enough for me to just cry out and say, Lord, make me strong. He's saying, use the strength you already have. And when you use the strength you already have, I'm going to give you more strength. I love this, and the reason why I love it is because the Lord has given this church strength. And with that, we've got other churches now who are coming and asking, what are you doing over there at Word of Life? And we tell them, look, we're doing a lot of the same things you're doing. There's not a whole lot difference there. But let me ask you, do you tithe as a church? 10% of every dollar that comes in, do you give it away to other ministries? Not just other pastors who sit on your board and all those. Do you give it away to other ministries? What do you do for missions? What are you doing in your community? And what we're seeing is a big shift now where people want to see that. And it's such a blessed thing because what we need is far less superstars in the pulpit and far more people who are trying to make the name of Jesus great in a community. And if all the churches in Jackson, Mississippi would just get together and say, you know what, let's use the strength of our congregation to go out and make Jackson, Flowood, Brandon, Pearl the best they possibly could be, I believe we would see a revival like never before where we come in and literally see the presence and power of God change a community. I want to see God build up the old waste places where the enemy has crept in communities and no one's dwelling in those paths anymore. I want to see the power of God come and repair the breach. And I want to see people dwell in the places they used to dwell in because the glory of the Lord is there in those communities. Why? Because we're there and we're going there with His power and presence and making the world a better place. That's what Poindexter is all about. And we do fun things like work with schools and teachers and buy smart boards for the classrooms and computers and new library books for two elementary schools and book reading programs. There's a whole bunch of programs that we do there. But if you're like me, you can't go down there all the time because of your own schedules. Now, I encourage you to go down there as much as you can and help us out with manpower. But with that, one thing that we all can do, if the Lord leads you, if not, that's fine. But one thing we all can do is to help send strength that we have. Now, for this ministry, we can give thousands and have given thousands down in that community. But for me personally, I can't give thousands, but I can give what I can give. And I'm a monthly partner of Poindexter as well as many other ministries. But my point is, if the Lord does lead you and you say, well, all I could give is $2, give the $2. Start using the strength that you have and the Lord will give you more strength. Now, once again, I would never talk this way for this church. I'll never raise money this way for this church. Ever, 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 ever. You have never seen me do this for regular tithes and offerings to Word of Life Church, and I never, ever will. But this is not for the church. I don't get paid one penny, and nobody else on staff does either, for what you give to Poindexter. This is solely for that community. And bless God, I will raise money for that because I want to see God's power touch that place. So with that, if you feel led to do that, awesome. If not, that's great too. But I want to encourage you, use your strength for someone other than yourself, and you will see God multiply your strength. Now, with this, we have cute little things that we have made up that if you choose to become a monthly partner of Poindexter, you'll get a partner newsletter. Basically, we want to tell you what we're doing down there every month, and so you get a partner newsletter. You'll get a Poindexter t-shirt, a Poindexter button, and a Poindexter car decal. So all those little fun things. But we really want this community to be on all of our hearts because we feel like as a church, we can't touch every community. But just because we can't touch every community doesn't mean we can't touch the one God has put on our heart. And we're seeing God make a difference down there, and we encourage you, help us make that difference. Amen. Amen. So the thing that you need to do it is, you probably got it when you came in, it's just a four Poindexter card. You can drop that off in the offering bucket, we don't have buckets, do we? Offering receptacles when you are exiting the facility. All right, I'm done with that. Go over to the book of Acts, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 13. On the screens, if you can go to 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. And just for a couple of minutes today, I want to give you at least one tip on how to increase your sensitivity to the voice of the Lord. Over the last couple of weeks during the summer season, we have really talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and seen where Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit would be our counselor, He would be our guide, that He would teach us all things, that He would show us things to come. We saw where Paul wrote and said that the communion of the Holy Spirit is supposed to be with all of us. And we looked up that word communion in the Message Bible, and it says, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And so what we're trying to achieve through this series is that you can say, honestly, without any air of spiritual pride or things like that, where you can say, the Holy Spirit is my intimate friend, that I know Him, that I not only know God, and I not only know His Word, but I know His voice. Because Jesus said, you should. His sheep, Jesus said, will know His voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. So the goal of today's little message, because we've already preached a little bit, and the rest of this week and next week, will be to increase your sensitivity to the Lord's voice, where your heart becomes more sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. We don't have time to look at 2 Samuel. We'll just look here in Acts chapter 13, and we'll go from there. Acts chapter 13, we see the Lord speaking, and I want you to notice something they were doing that ties into this. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and it lists those people. Starts with Barnabas, it ends with Saul. Now notice verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Now let's read verse 2 again. Let's read it slow. Let's really look at it. It says, and as they, these people, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto where I've called them. Now notice, these people were doing something before the Holy Spirit said. Before they heard the Holy Spirit, they were doing something. And the things that they were doing are two spiritual practices, I'll go as far as to say habits, that when you do these two things, it increases your sensitivity to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And there was a minister, he's since gone home to be with the Lord, who was just mightily, mightily used by God. His name was T.L. Osborne. And he was just a fantastic evangelist who went all over the world doing crusades and meetings. And at the tail end of his life, a minister friend of mine was sitting at a table with him. And they asked him this question. They said, T.L., what is God doing in these last days? What is God doing in these last days? And T.L. thought about it for a minute. And then he said, God is doing the same thing He's always done. I mean, if you know, that makes sense. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's doing the same thing He's always done. What God is going to do in these last days is speak. Speak. Well, He's not going to work miracles. He's not going to perform signs and wonders. No, He's going to speak. And for those who will hear, listen, and obey, they are the ones who will see miracles. And I heard them say that T.L. Osborne said that, and that stayed with me. What is God going to do? God's going to do the same thing He's always done. Well, what's that? He's going to speak. And for those who will listen and obey, they will see miracles. I began meditating on that. And I thought, you know what? In the life of Abraham, Abraham was a simple man who walked with God. He heard God speak. He listened. He obeyed. And that man saw miracles. Moses was a simple man, just herding sheep. But he heard from God. And when he heard from God, he listened. And when he listened, he obeyed. And after he obeyed, he saw miracles. David, simple guy, heard from God. He listened, then he obeyed. He saw miracles. Children of Israel heard from God, refused to listen, refused to obey, didn't see miracles. With this pattern is all throughout the Bible. When you read the life of Jesus, they heard from Jesus. They listened to Jesus. They obeyed Jesus. When they did, they saw miracles. They saw water change to wine. They saw a multitude of fish being caught. Paul heard from God, listened, and obeyed, saw miracles. With this, the same thing is true in your life. If you want to see miracles from God, you have to hear from God. Then you have to listen to what He's saying. And then you have to obey. My job is to teach you how to hear and how to listen. And then pray from there, you do what He tells you to do. But with this, we see how these people heard from God, how they trained themselves to listen. We see two things. It said, and as they, number one, ministered unto the Lord, and number two, and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. These are two habits you and I need in our life. Let's talk about the first one. I don't think we'll get to the second one this morning. The first one, as they ministered unto the Lord. Now, many of your translations say, as they worship the Lord. I like that. Now, this morning for my personal devotional, I went and read the life of Elisha and read through a lot of the miracles he did. And in one case, the kings of Israel and Judah got together and they were fighting against another king, the king of Moab. And they were really concerned that Moab was going to wipe them out. And so they said, we need to hear from God. And the king of Judah stepped up and said, I know someone who can hear from God. His name is Elisha. And so they came to Elisha, this prophet. It's a very interesting conversation they have with him. And they tell him, we need to hear from God. Prophesy unto us. And so Elisha's like, I can't just turn it on. I can't just make God speak to us. So he says, bring me a minstrel. A harpist, have someone come play, just come worship. And as the minstrel began to play, as worship began to come forth out of it, the hand of the Lord came upon him, the Bible said, and they heard from God that day. Throughout Scripture, you see worship tied to the Lord speaking. And in your life, there's got to be strong worship, not just strong singing. Not just coming into church and singing. Music matters, friend. I'm telling you, music matters. The enemy has done everything in his power to try to distort music and to tie in his spirit into music, all of those things. But with that, true worship, it matters. Worship music matters. And a lot of people, when it comes to singing unto the Lord, and you see Scripture exhort us to do that all the time, that's all they do is just sing. But worship is where you do like Hezekiah did. You turn your face to the wall. It's a time where you pull away from all these other influences, from all these other jobs you have to do and things going on in your life. And you stilled your heart to seek God. And there are times that we as Christians have set apart to do that. One of those times would be like this morning. We've come here to hear from God. We've come here to worship God. And that's a good thing. And I'm thankful the South has that tradition. Because with that, we have set times that we have set aside where during this service, we are going to draw near to God. That's what they were doing here. They set aside time to minister unto the Lord. But with this is not just something we should just do on Sundays or Wednesdays. All of us, I would love to see this happen in your life daily. All of us should have many times where we go to the Lord and just minister unto Him. Now, with this, obviously, it's good to worship the Lord, and obviously, He enjoys it. In heaven, there's tons of it. You read the book of Revelations, you see in heaven, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be worshiping the Lord. So, obviously, the Lord enjoys it. But it's more than that. It's preparing your heart to hear from Him. Oftentimes, in worship is where you will get your best and clearest leadings. Because it stills your heart where you can begin to commune with God. I put up those pictures for me on the screen real quick, the pictures of the lake. I was talking about these things to the staff the other day, and we were talking about just tips to increase sensitivity and to the Lord. And after it, one of my staff members, he sent me two photos, and he asked me to tell him which one was the actual trees and which one was the reflection of the trees. And so here you see trees and then you see a body of water in front of those trees. And it's real obvious which one is the trees and which one is the body of water. Isn't that right? Because on the body of water right now, there's all these ruffles. You know, it could be a wind came through, or if you've ever driven on the reservoir, maybe a boat came through and kind of ruffled the water. And so it's really easy here to see which one is the water and which one is the trees, because the water is so distorted. You could put it this way. The water is so busy. It's so busy. But now go to the next picture. This is the same body of water, and this is the same set of trees. But can you tell which one is the water and which one is the trees? It's very interesting. I don't know. But I do know that one is water and the other one is the trees. It's just the water is perfectly reflecting the image that is being cast on it, because it's still. It's not busy. Therefore, it can yield a perfect reflection. And the reason why so many people never hear from God is so many people never get still enough to hear. He speaks in a still, small voice. And what happens is most people, even when they pray and even when they worship, their flesh and their mind is talking the whole time. I mean, during worship, during prayer, they are focused on what we're doing after service, or the 15 things I've got to knock out the rest of this day, or is that my child's number flashing up on the center screen telling me to come get them out of preschool? There's so many distractions. And our heart gets busy, and it can't reflect back to us what the Lord is saying. And what worship and ministering to the Lord is supposed to do, what your morning devotional is supposed to do, is not just for you to break records on how fast you can read the Bible. It's not just supposed to be records on how long you can pray. No, when you do it, don't try to break any records. What you're trying to do is still your heart. To get your heart still before God, where it can reflect back to you exactly what the will of the Lord is. And so with this, you have to have times like this. This word, minister to the Lord, it also gives the connotation of waiting on the Lord. Have you ever heard that in the Bible, wait on the Lord? Well, basically, the best thing we have to kind of give us a likeness of what that looks like, well, how do you wait on the Lord? Is it just sitting in His presence? Is it just waiting for Him to speak? What does that look like? The greatest example would be an actual waiter. If you've ever gone into a restaurant before, a waiter or a waitress would come up to you. And basically, their whole job is to come up and serve you. To come up and see what it is you want. And so they may tell you some specials, they may go over the menu, they may give you some suggestions, but the end of the day is they are there to find out what it is you want to order. And so what if a waiter came up to your table, and this is the first approach, and they came up and they started telling you about the specials, and they asked you what you wanted to drink, but before you could answer, their cell phone rings. And they pick it up. And they kind of, you know, give you the finger. Just, I'll come back to you in a second. And this finger. Not anyway. So, gotta clarify. And so with that, they kind of tell you, just, you know, hold up. Let's wait here for a minute. And they start talking on their phone. And for the next 10 minutes, they carry out this long conversation in front of you. And then they hang up and they start to take your drink order. But before you could finish, now they're pulling up their phone to check their Facebook and to check their Insta and to check their Twitter feed. And then they stop doing that. And then they come back to the table. And now they brought back your drink order. Now it's time to give the food order. And right before you give the food order, they start checking their email. And you're trying to speak to them, but they keep checking their email. And you want to give them your order because you're really hungry, but they keep checking all of these other things. Therefore, they're not paying attention to what you're saying. And so with that, how many of you would be frustrated with a waiter or a waitress like that? Anyone be frustrated? Why? Because you've got some orders you want to give them. They're just not being still enough to hear them. They're acting like they don't even care to hear them. And with God, it's the same way. When we wait on the Lord, what He desires for us to do is to block out all of these other distractions, to still our heart and expect to have communion with Him. And when we do that, He's always speaking. He's always giving instruction. But our heart is now still enough to reflect back to Him what is He is saying unto us. Does that make sense? So with this, have some time in your life where you minister unto the Lord. I'm giving tips for increased sensitivity. If you want to hear from the Lord, you have to still your heart. Go over to Psalms 4. Let's look at this. I was going to just have them go to the screens, but for the sake of time, let's look at this. Psalms 4, we'll close with this. Psalms 4, and let's look at verse 4. And on the screens, if you can pull up Acts 7, verse 51, we'll see if we get to it. Psalms 4, verse 4, in your Bibles. Notice what he says here. He says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. I like that. He says, I want you to do something. I want you to be still, and I want you to commune, to fellowship with your heart. Now, one of the things that we talked about when we first started this series is that the Holy Spirit is not just with us, but He is also in us. 1 John talks about how you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. The counselor, the guide is in me. And so Christians, when we expect to hear from the Lord, we're not looking out here. We're to look to our own heart. We're to trust in our heart. We're not to lean on our mind. We're to trust in our heart. And so while you're worshiping and while you're ministering and you're stilling your heart, the goal is as you start communing with it. And here's what I'll do. And in Acts chapter 15, we see them do this. As I'm approaching a decision, I'll take my heart and I'll bring it up to my mind. Or I'll take my mind and I'll bring it down to my heart. And I'll say, Lord, like for Poindexter, we're looking at, there's a ministry down there that's doing a great job with an after-school program. They need a new roof. And that roof's going to cost about $7,000. And we have the funds and resources to do that. But Lord, what's your will there? And so I'm doing this after a time of worship while my heart is still. And as you commune with your own heart, what you're looking for is peace. Do I have peace about this? Do I have peace about helping there? Or is there's a disturbance there? Is there's something there I feel like, it's not time for it yet, or that money could be allocated for other purposes or reason? I'm looking for peace. But I'll take that decision and I'll take it to my heart after a time of ministering unto the Lord. Why? My heart is still. Notice in Acts 7:51, they're preaching away at some people, and in the middle of preaching, they say this to them. They say, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you do. Notice this. He says, you're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, and this is leading you to resist the Holy Ghost. What they're saying is he's trying to speak to you right now, but you keep resisting him. How do you resist him? You're stiff-necked, and your ears and heart are uncircumcised. Now, what this simply means is this. As he's saying, if you want the Holy Spirit to lead you and to speak to you, you can't already make up your mind on this is the way I'm going to go. And this is how most people operate almost every morning. They wake up with an agenda, got to go to work, got to take the kids to school, and they just go after it. They don't give the Holy Spirit any chance to guide them into anything because they've made up their mind, these are the things we have to knock out today. These are the things we have to do. They didn't take any time to cut away the flesh from their ears or cut away the flesh from their hearts. They're following after basic sensual things that entertain the senses, and they're going after those things without taking the time to say, Lord, guide me. I'm cutting away the flesh from my heart this morning. Guide my heart. I'm cutting away the flesh from my ears this morning, spiritually speaking. I'm not just going to hear the things I want to hear. I'm not just going to go the way I want to go. I'm cutting away the flesh, and Lord, I'm asking you, lead me, guide me, instruct me. And then you start looking to that heart. Does it seem good, Lord, to step out in this direction, to do that? And the more you do this, the more sensitive you will be to the Holy Spirit of God. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, after those things, the Holy Spirit said unto them, I want to encourage you, take some time to minister to the Lord on a daily basis. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you today. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful opportunity to serve you. We count it an honor and an incredible privilege to fellowship with your Holy Spirit. And we ask of you, Lord, to lead us, to guide us. We will not be stiff-necked. We will take the time to ask you to guide our hearts. We'll set aside ourselves to ask you to speak to our ears. We thank you, Lord, for it. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, this is a time in the service where we get to draw near to God and to make a decision for the Lord Jesus. So if you're here this morning, you say, you know, Pastor Joel, I really know in my heart I need to draw near to the Lord. This is your time to do that. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone in here, just pray this prayer with me. Just repeat it after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe you sent Jesus to die for me. I believe not only did he die, but on the third day, he rose again from the grave. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Lord Jesus, you've forgiven me of every mistake, every fault, every failure, every mess up. Since you've forgiven me, Lord, I forgive myself. And I say boldly, my best days start right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we want to say thank you for coming out to Word of Life.